We've reached the end on this Friday afternoon. This is Bill O'Brien. Have a wonderful weekend. Be safe, and thank you for listening.
Quality News Network. The House voted today to approve the $124 billion Iraq War spending bill. The bill requires combat operations in Iraq to end by September 2008 or earlier. The vote is seen as a victory for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. She said, quote, "The American people have lost faith in the president's conduct of the war." Just an hour after the House vote, President Bush commented on the passage of the Iraq bill, accusing the House of abdicating its responsibility by passing the legislation, which, he says, undermines the troops. The president says the vote and his promised veto will delay the delivery of resources needed by U.S. troops fighting the war in Iraq. Since the beginning of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, Congress has provided $500 billion to fund them, not including the $124 billion currently before Congress. More than 3,200 U.S. troops have been killed since the Iraq War began over 4 years ago. Today in the Persian Gulf, 15 British sailors and Marines were seized by Iranian naval forces. The British personnel had boarded a merchant ship in Iraqi waters for a routine ship inspection when they were captured by the Iranians. The British government immediately protested the detentions, while the Iranian government has declined to make a comment. Iraq's deputy prime minister was gravely injured today at his home when a man wearing an explosive vest blew himself up in a courtyard mosque. 9 people were killed in the attack, which occurred near the Green Zone in Baghdad. Iran's president will not arrive in the U.S. tomorrow, as was expected. He was to speak to the United Nations Security Council, which is considering further sanctions against his country for failing to halt its uranium enrichment program. 6-party talks aimed at convincing North Korea to abandon its nuclear weaponry program may reconvene within 2 weeks. North Korea's envoy walked out of the negotiations yesterday, saying they will not participate until the U.S. unfreezes $25 million North Korean dollars. In Washington, a bipartisan immigration bill has been introduced in the House, which creates a new system permitting immigrants to work in the U.S. while they petition for American citizenship. The bill would affect millions of illegal immigrants. A chemical used in rat poison is at least partially to blame for the national recall of over 60 million cans and pouches of pet food. According to agricultural officials, rodenticide on wheat imported from China was used in nearly 100 brands of dog and cat food. You're listening to the Quality News Network. If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, 6 elections, 5 space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link. A scientific report issued today says ocean-going ships produce more air-polluting sulfur dioxide than all of the world's vehicles combined. The International Council on Clean Transportation is calling on shipping companies to voluntarily clean up their act. A Southern California farm is suing Taco Bell for alleging that its green onions spread E. coli through the fast food chain last December. The farm's onions were first linked to the outbreak, but then later cleared. More than 70 people were sickened in the outbreak. Prices for birth control pills are doubling and in some cases tripling on college campuses nationwide. A change in Medicaid rebates means pharmaceutical companies no longer have an incentive for providing inexpensive drugs to student health centers. The Los Angeles City Attorney's Office will file misdemeanor theft charges against 10 airport screeners at LAX who are accused of stealing personal items from passengers' bags. Celebrities, including Paris Hilton, were among those robbed. In February, sales of existing homes were up by the largest amount in nearly 3 years, according to the National Association of Realtors. They rose 3.9% last month. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.28 a barrel, and on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is up 22, the Nasdaq is flat, and the S&P 500 is up 2. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Christine Kendall.
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, 11,
and most of
11,
these amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
Rant, head-bang. Hey, everybody, welcome aboard Foxed Up here for a Friday afternoon. It's Saturday morning here, and it's looking like it's going to be a really, really nice weekend down here in Sydney as we start trailing off the end of what is the abusive summer. Not like it's gotten any cooler, but it should be around the corner at some time. Anyway, folks, welcome aboard. We got a bunch of stuff to do today. Where do we start? Just to remind everybody, I don't know if you've heard, but it's World Shutdown Day this weekend. And the concept is, you know, if possible, get away from your computer for an entire day. Shut it down. Don't turn it on. Don't email. None of that stuff. And all your technology, if you have the ability to do so. And Treehugger's got a really good list of things you can do on this weekend. And there's a little post over at treehugger.com, and there's a link on today's show post. And they say World Shutdown Day is this weekend, and with it comes a good opportunity to prove you aren't addicted to your computer by shutting it off and leaving it off all day. In addition to taking a break and doing something other than emailing, surfing, or blogging, Shutdown Day also has the potential to reduce your energy use and to quantify the good that unplugging can do for you every now and then. In celebration of the day, here are some of our picks for taking the shutdown idea a little bit further. Unplug your cell phone charger, or better yet, take your phone off the grid. And there's a link there, and I reckon to one of these solar-powered phone charger systems. Go for broke. Take an energy vacation for the day. No TV or electronics, artificial lights, or driving. You can take it as far as you want. 3, in a full turn off, if a full turn off is too much, take a minute and learn more about the dangers of phantom power and get some tips for reducing it. Number 4, before shutting down, before shutting down, take a minute to learn more about how to be energy independent, or read a book about it. And there's links for all this stuff. And when you come back online, get some tips to help reduce your computer's energy use. And they link to things like local cooling, which is that groovy little PC program that optimizes your computer. It interfaces with all your power settings and scans your computer and finds ways to really, really pull down the energy use. I know it on my tower, it cut down my general power usage by something like 23%, if I'm not mistaken. And my lead story, I'm not getting too straight away because it's going to take a little bit of time, and it's from the Environmental Working Group, and it's on some toxins in canned foods, but we're gonna hold off on that a little bit. We'll get to that in the second half of the show. And I mentioned shutting computers down for a day, and the production chat's all like, "What are you, nuts?" See, it's an addiction, just like anything else. We're all addicted to our computers. I know the feeling, you know. The concept of not going and checking my email at least every 30 minutes is like sacrilege. But I'm up for. I've been so busy doing a major website build. I would love to just disconnect for an entire 24 hours. I think it would do my soul much, much good. and as Agnes says, some people aren't addicted, but they're chained to it. Well, you know, break the chains that bind, Agnes. there are various things happening here. I believe it's tonight in Australia there's going to be this Lights Off Australia thing from 7:30 to 8:30 tonight. The entire city has been asked to shut off all of their electrical lighting for an hour. And I believe that a whole bunch of companies in the city have gotten behind this. You can find some more information at the City Morning Herald website, which is just smh.com.au. And it might be interesting, because if people in the city really get in on this, you could end up having a whole generation of children actually see the stars for the first time. How cool would that be? You know, that actually see the Milky Way. Because I remember when I was a kid, you know, living in Jersey, lighting pollution wasn't nearly as bad as it is now. And I remember you actually used to be able to see, like, the heart of the Milky Way. Kind of just glowed with this bit of white. It was just outstanding, you know. Kids don't even have a concept of what that's like in modern society, you know. Because of the lighting pollution via contrast, there's a few dots up there, and they have no idea of just the wonder of what the night sky really can be. And I remember the last holiday that Gail and I took, which is a long time ago, we were out in the Blue Mountains, where there's not so much lighting pollution, and kind of getting a taste of what the sky used to look like for us when we were kids. So I think that's a good thing. So Lights Off Australia, all this kind of stuff is the difference that it makes on itself might be negligible, but it's all, again, like I've said before, it's all about new habits and instilling new thoughts or ideas into your daily thought process, you know, and just the concept that, you know, if I don't need it, shut it down. And in fact, last weekend I tore the studio apart here and did a bit of a rework. And one of the things that I did, and I'm kind of digging this, is I pulled out one of my old power switchable power boards from touring, and utilizing two separate circuits, one that runs everything computer, everything that runs everything audio, each on a circuit. And when I shut my computer down, with just flicking two switches, I pull my entire studio off of the power. So there's nothing running on any standby power, no monitors, no nothing. And makes me happy. And it's really wild, you know, when I do it, it's suddenly the studio's really quiet. I mean, totally quiet. But anyway, folks, we're going to take our first break and come back and do a couple more news pieces and our track of the day. We're going to do a little bit of something from a band called Temple of the Dog, and I'll explain exactly why and what that's all about when we come back. So stick around. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and we will be right back after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's go. Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Polar bears live in the Arctic, on the ice.
But the ice is melting because of global warming.
Some polar bears have to swim so far they drown. Baby bears have died.
When I'm old, when I'm 45, all the bears could be gone.
Grown-ups should do something.
If you're a grown-up, go to polarbearsos.org now. You can make sure polar bears are protected under the Endangered Species Act.
Please help them.
Are you one of the 32 million people that take prescription medications? If you are, you might be affected by dry mouth and be surprised by sudden and rapid development of tooth decay. Dry mouth reduces saliva, making it difficult to swallow or speak, and can contribute to problems such as gum disease and oral infections. Talk to your general dentist today about your treatment options. Visit the Academy of General Dentistry at www.agd.org or call 1-877-2X-A-YEAR. For the Academy of General Dentistry, I'm Dr. Carl Jenkins.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Foxed Up. Oh, Rose Tattoo, Bad Boy for Love. Go on, Angry Anderson. He's not so angry anymore, but anyway. All right. Before we get into the track of the day, I'm going to get into the crucial story of the day a bit, and we'll probably end up finishing it up a little bit later. From the Environmental Work Group, and you can find them at www.ewg.org, and this is a fantastic website and a really, really great organization. But anyone know what bisphenol A is? Ever heard of it? I hadn't heard of it until last night. But guess what? You're consuming a lot of it. Chemical linked to birth defects found at unsafe levels in canned foods. Plastic compounds highest in soup, pasta, and baby formula. Out of Washington, March 5th, in the most comprehensive U.S. test for an industrial chemical used to line cans of foods, an independent laboratory found a compound linked to birth defects in more than half of the samples of canned fruit, vegetables, soda, and baby formula from supermarket shelves, according to an Environmental Working Group report released today. This was on the 5th of March. The lab test produced for EWG found bisphenol A, or BPA, is in 55 of 97 cans of food purchased from major supermarket chains in California, Connecticut, and Georgia. The lab tested 27 national name brands and 3 store brands. The potential for BPA to cause birth defects and reproductive harm is being evaluated today by a federal advisory panel at the Center for Evaluation of Risks to Human Reproduction, a division of the National Institutes for Health. Major concerns have been raised regarding the integrity of the CERHR science and conflicts of interest in the part of the center contractor, Sciences International. SI plays a major management role in the CERHR operations, while at the same time doing business with the client base that includes manufacturers of chemicals under review by the center. Hello? Bueller. This is a conflict of interest. Plain and simple. BPA is an ingredient in plastics and epoxy resins that line food cans. Low doses of BPA lead to a range of health problems, including birth defects of the male and female reproductive systems in laboratory animals. Despite the growing evidence of risks to human health, there are no limits on the amount of BPA allowed in canned foods. The tests found that pregnant women and infants who eat even a single serving of some canned foods are exposed to unsafe doses of BPA. Of the foods tested, which included many of the canned foods eaten most often by women of childbearing age, BPA levels were highest in canned pasta and soup. Canned infant formula also had high levels. Just 1 to 3 servings of food with these BPA levels could expose a pregnant woman or infant to harmful doses of the chemical. BPA reads like a case study of how badly our chemical safety system is broken, said Jane Houlihan, Vice President for Research at EWG. We've known it's toxic for 75 years. It's polluting the bodies of almost all Americans, but we allow it in our food at levels that leave no margin of safety for pregnant women and young children. Scientists have detected BPA in breast milk, serum, saliva, urine, amniotic fluid, and cord blood from at least 2,200 people in Europe, North America, and Asia. Researchers in the Center for Disease Control and Prevention recently detected BPA in 95% of its nearly 400 U.S. adults and children. Last comprehensive review of low-dose studies found that the overwhelming majority of peer-reviewed studies, 94 of 115, have confirmed BPA's toxicity at low levels of exposure. Few chemicals have been found to consistently display such a diverse range of harm at such low doses. And I had to go and have a look. You know, we don't do too much canned food and whatnot here, but one of the things that we usually have around the house are some Heinz soups. Guess what? My favorite spicy lamb and couscous soup has to go. Has to go. We're going to return to this. I'm going to get into the conflict of interest angle of this in a minute, but let's move on to today's track of the day. And I chose this for a reason. Now, the lyric doesn't necessarily apply directly. However, those of you that, and like myself, who are long-term viewers of the David Letterman program, will remember Calvert DeForest, a.k.a. Larry Bud Melman. Larry died yesterday after a long illness, and, you know, there are people that enrich our lives in such simple ways, and here was a goofy guy who just played himself and did the crazy walk-ons, the video clips, and I mean, there was even a big fight when Dave moved the show from NBC to CBS. They couldn't call Calvert Larry Bud Melman anymore because of intellectual property issues. Please. Here, everyone always wondered if Calvert was an actor playing a character, but in reality, it was just himself. A genuine, modest, and nice man, Letterman said in the statement. To our staff and to our viewers, he was a beloved and valued part of our show, and we will miss him. So, in honor of Larry Bud Melman, today's track of the day is a track called Say Hello to Heaven from Temple of the Dog. Now, Temple of the Dog was a one-off project. It was the singer and the drummer from Soundgarden and three of the guys who ended up becoming Pearl Jam. And the Temple of the Dog album was purely these guys' big chill over the loss of a dear friend, singer from another Seattle band who passed away days before their breakthrough album was going to be released. And this was the first track that Chris Cornell wrote, and they were recording it on the weekends. And it's one of my favorite albums of all time, and I'm a big fan of Chris Cornell's, but it's a real throwback to me, late 70s style rock, you know? Very, very organic sounding guitars and pianos and B3 organs and just really, really great stuff. The biggest song off of this album was Hunger Strike, which featured Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam, and that was basically his audition in some ways. The name of the band that they were honoring was a band called Mother Love Bone, and the lead singer was a very eclectic guy, and unfortunately, just like too many people, too many great people with really, really just beautiful spirits fell to heroin. And it's just really, really sad. So anyway, in honor of Larry Bud Melman, without further ado, Agnes, Say Hello to Heaven, Temple of the Dog, roll it.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
Sex and drugs and rock and roll is all my brain and body need. Your silly ways, or throw them out the window. The wisdom of your ways, I've been there and I know lots of other ways. What a jolly bad show. If all you ever do is business you don't like. Sex and drugs and rock and roll. Sex and drugs and rock and roll. Sex and drugs and rock and roll is very good indeed. Every bit of clothing ought to make you pretty. You can cut the clothing, grey is such a pity. I should wear the clothing of Mr. Walter Mitty. See my tailor, he's called Simon. I know it's going to fit. You're quite welcome, it is free. Don't do nothing that is cut price. You know what they'll make you be. They will try their tricky device, trap you with the ordinary. Get your teeth into a small slice, the cake of liberty. and drugs and rock and roll. Sex 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 and drugs and rock and roll.
Well, it seems that we may be experiencing a little technical difficulty, so until John gets back here, I'll play you another track. We'll be back in just a moment. Hang on with Head On.
right. I do believe we're back. And sorry about that, folks. We had a bit of a power flash out here on over here in Sydney. It all kind of went blank for just a second. And my apologies. Jeez. Had to go rebooting routers and all kinds of stuff. Wireless network all went all kaputsky, and it was just kind of madness. So where the hell was I? Okay. Let me just kind of go and get some story stuff back here. Jeez. That was shocking. Anyway, I guess Agnes was entertaining you all with a bit of extra music there, which is always good. Music's good for the soul. It's good for the mind. Good for the world. Geez. Okay. Let me get this thing open here. Oh, madness. I hope you dug that Temple of the Dog track, because I think that's just a really, really great album. It's just a fantastic record. And as Agnes was making a comment in the production chat saying it sounds like a midnight record, it's very, very much so. So, anyway. Here we go. I was talking about this environmental work group study on BPA. And they talk about the conflict of interest that goes on. And a connected story over at the Environmental Working Group site, EWG.org, it says here, a federal agency that evaluates the causes of birth defects and other reproductive problems is run by a consulting firm with ties to companies that make chemicals the agency is charged with reviewing, according to an investigation by EWG. The Center for the Evaluation of Risks to Human Reproduction, an agency under the auspices of the National Institutes of Health, is actually run by Sciences International of Alexandria, Virginia. EWG found that Sciences International has collaborated with Dow Chemical Company, a major manufacturer of a widely used industrial chemical the agency will evaluate next week, and has also worked for the tobacco giant R.J. Reynolds. Now, this article that they say about next week, this is actually the very article that I was quoting from previously. And it says, it's true that federal agencies often contract with consulting firms, but we didn't know of any other instance where nearly all the functions of a public health agency have been outsourced to a private company with a serious conflict of interest, said Richard Wiles, executive director of EWG. Should government health assessments be managed by private consulting firms with ties to the industry that manufactures the chemicals under review? No. EWG wrote today that Dr. David A. Schwartz, director of toxicology of the National Institute of Environmental Health Services, demanding that SI and its employees disclose all its industry ties prior to a March 5 meeting at which the CERHR expert panel is scheduled to evaluate the reproductive hazards presented by BPA. The panel will base its decision on a 300-page report prepared by SI. So, you know, I mean, to me this is fairly obvious. This is not a good thing. This is not going to be looking... You're not going to get the right result out of this. The arrangement between CERHR and SI raises serious ethical questions that demand immediate disclosure of financial and research ties to chemical manufacturers and other industries that make or use substances under review by CERHR, Wiles wrote to Schwartz. Questions about the objectivity and adequacy of this review process and the reviewers must be resolved before a final decision on BPA is reached. You can also find the letter at EWG.org. EWG's investigation found Anthony Schiali, an SI employee who was the manager of CERHR in 2004, co-authored a scientific paper with an employee of Dow Chemical Company on how animal test results can be applied to human health risks. The study was funded by the European Chemical Industry Council. Oh my God. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. Anyway, another point here. In its BPA study, SI fails to disclose industry funding sources and author affiliations for two major studies by scientists who often work for the European Chemical Industry Council and the Society of Plastics Industry, both of which have member companies who manufacture or use BPA. SI scientists collaborated with R.J. Reynolds in 1998 on a study and lobbying effort that persuaded the Environmental Protection Agency not to tighten regulations on tobacco pesticides. These people are looking out for you? Bull dinky. Bull dinky. And we're going to go to the phones. Our news ninja. Hi! Gene is on the line. How you going, buddy? Welcome to the program.
Hey, John.
Hey, there he is. How you going, mate?
Oh, I'm okay. I just wanted to check in and let you know how the green class went going last night.
Yes, and we have to get these folks on the program. I have been so remiss, but anyway, we're going to work on that. Oops. Tell me. Whoops. Did we lose Gene? Bugger. Well, we'll try and get Gene back, because Gene's been going to this environmental class about being green in your community, and it just sounds like the most fantastic thing. I wonder what happened to him. Anyway, we'll hopefully get Gene back for a couple of minutes before we get out of here today, because, we love Gene, and Gene rocks. And, by the way, I might not actually get to it because I got to go finding all these links again because everything went a couple minutes ago. Our new associate news ninja, Texas Betsy, sends in. If we don't get, which I'll try and get to those on Monday, and I thank you, Betsy, for that. But we've got Gene back. Welcome back, Gene. Oh, where were we?
Yeah, I don't know. It's that you mentioned that shutdown day and all my technology said, okay, fine.
it's contagious.
Yeah. Anyway, we had the green class last night, and we discussed canning, personal canning. So,
right.
So there is a way to get around the canning, doing your own stuff, and they absolutely love the idea. I didn't know you could can squirrel.
Canned squirrel?
Yeah. One of the members just brought up is actually the sustainability coordinator that I kind of let you talk to about the guy you're pushing you to contact. She has this memory of going down to her grandma's basement and she cans of squirrel on the sides, and it's like this. We were talking about that. It's like all these nice, squirrel parts and stuff. The vegetarians in the room were going, oh, I'm so glad I don't eat meat. And but it was fun.
I guess if you can can peaches, I guess you can squirrel. Whether you'd want to or not is a completely different conversation.
Well, yeah, that's true. But anyway, besides the canning bit, we talked about, it was because there was a discussion on offsets, and
yeah,
most people kind of feel like you and me. That's kind of a boondoggle. However, we got to talking about it, and it's like one of us suggested instead of giving the offsets to somebody else, to kind of put it in the local community, and so we're going to actually do like offsets to go build our church, to build it in a green style.
Oh, right.
Which we plan to do anyway, but, this is another way to possibly get some green things going and that kind of thing. And, you know, we're now in the idea stage of things and, how we can do things better. And, I see that in addition to changing my eating habits, especially now with the can thing, I'm going to have to do something about my recycling habits too. I'm going to have to do a little bit better. And apparently there's something going on with some of the local master recyclers in the area about the newer corn-based plastics. The older facilities aren't handling them as well.
Right.
So we're we're trying to work around that, and all kinds of things. We thought about, one of us actually thought about the idea of trying to get for people that live in the suburbs, see if they could get somebody there at the suburbs to actually build in their own little store that people would come to and buy food from. We kind of, I think she was kind of half joking, but it sounded like a nice idea to me.
Well, there are a growing number of food co-ops.
Yeah.
Happening around the planet. I mean, there's a great one in South Sydney, where independent producers get together, share space, and sell their wares, and you can get some amazing produce, all really local. And we've talked about this at great length on this program. You and I've talked about it before together about, one of the simplest but yet overlooked things is really paying attention to where your food comes from.
Oh yeah.
And the closer it's sourced, the better it is for the environment because of the transportation stuff.
Oh yeah.
And you were mentioning carbon offsets, and I'd never take anything from a Murdoch paper too strongly. However, there was a little piece in the late afternoon rag, the MX rag yesterday. And I think that there is some validity to this, that many of the big environmental groups are starting to really wonder about the carbon offset concept, the way that it's being utilized. One is, are carbon offsets allowing people to just go on doing the same thing that they were doing while feeling that if they pay for it, but yet not changing their lifestyle at all or looking at the consequences of it, whether it's really valid? And like here in Australia, we're in such a drought and whatnot, one, are all these trees actually being planted, and two, is it going to be really viable in especially here in Australia with the drought? Will it be possible to actually do these plantings? And it's one of these things where is it allowing people to go on living the same way, making no changes in their lives just because they feel they can afford it and pay for the carbon credits? And I think there needs to be some serious independent auditing when it comes to, I want to see the trees. I really want to see the trees because that'll make me feel a whole lot better.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like the idea with the offsets. If you did it more locally, it seems like it would actually work better. And I was thinking about the jet planes and things, and I see there's something at the top of the hour news about the ocean-going liners being more hazardous to the environment than all other forms of transportation combined. So I was just thinking, okay, if you're going to be doing carbon offsets, you're going to have to take that money and put it into research for your industry, and you can't access it for like 14 years unless you go ahead and make your own changes. So that's how I do it. No.
Well, and I think your idea there is making sure that you turn those carbon offsets into local action. I think that might be a really good way to keep an eye on it. But Gene, I got to cut you off. We're about a minute and a half to running out of time, man.
Okay.
We'll do this again. Thank you so much for everything you do. We love you, man.
Sure. You too.
All right, man. You have a good night. And we're getting close towards the end of things here, so I'm going to wrap it up real quick. Thanks to Agnes for producing the program today brilliantly, as always. Thanks to Bob for announcing the program. Thanks to our news ninjas, and welcome to our new Texas ninja, Texas Betsy, who has sent me some stuff, which I'll get to on Monday. Thanks to the mods, Peter Godbold, B1 Ladder, everybody. We couldn't do this without you. So as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green, and we will see you on Monday.
Pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me.
And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f- If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
This is the Quality News Network. In trading today, the Dow Jones had a triple-digit decline and fell below the 12,000 mark. We'll have the closing Wall Street numbers coming up in our business block. The Senate passed a procedural vote today to allow debate on a resolution that would set a target date of April 1, 2008 for the U.S. combat mission in Iraq to end. The Republicans say they will have the votes to defeat it. President Bush has threatened a veto of both the Senate and House bills that call for a troop withdrawal. An Iraqi army spokesman says that the number of civilian deaths in Baghdad has gone down, as well as the number of insurgent attacks. A U.S. military commander also says the security plan in Baghdad is showing, quote, positive signs of progress. However, today, three U.S. soldiers died and nine were injured in the Diyala province. Iraq's President Jalal turned back to his Kurdish hometown today. He spent the past 17 days in a hospital in Jordan after he collapsed in northern Iraq. North of Baghdad in Tikrit, the bodies of Saddam Hussein's two sons and grandson have been exhumed and reburied near his grave. President Bush wrapped up his Latin American trip by holding a press conference in Mexico today with Mexican President Felipe Calderon. Bush pledged to update the U.S. immigration laws and crack down on illegal drug trafficking. President Bush was also asked about the recent firing of eight U.S. attorneys. He responded that he is standing by Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. However, the president admitted, as Gonzalez did yesterday, that, quote, mistakes were made. Attorney General Gonzalez will meet with congressional lawmakers over the next week to further explain the matter. Yesterday, his chief of staff resigned because he failed to give complete explanations to Congress about the removal of the eight prosecutors. In a civil trial involving the relatives of victims of the USS Cole bombing in 2000, the federal judge in the